And let's just open with a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. God, I thank you so much that your presence is so obviously here today, that you're with us and that you're speaking to us. And Lord, I do ask, as Jesus said, that your Holy Spirit would guide us in truth, that you'd help us to understand what we read in the scripture. We thank you because we know you're faithful to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we have... just show you just real quick. Those are the firsts that we have already discussed in the past. If you would like, you can listen to a past message either on our website or through iTunes. But there's the previous topics. And since we're a little short on time today, I just want to dive into our text. We're in Matthew chapter 23. And you know me, I like to give you a little bit of context so that you kind of know what on earth is going on. And so I want to just read a couple of verses out of chapter 23 real quick. You okay? Everyone ready for the ride? Okay, let's verses 2 through 5. This is Jesus talking. The teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. As we said earlier, we're not here for show. Verse 11. The greatest among you must be a servant, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, you won't go in yourselves, and you don't let others enter either. Verse 23. What sorrow awaits you, Jesus. It's somewhere between a heavy metal song and a blues song. It says, what sorrow awaits you, to the religious teachers several times. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees, hypocrites, you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb and from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but you neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. It needs a little explanation because both eating insects and camels was under their unclean list, just so you know. So Jesus is kind of making a joke there. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, then the outside will become clean too. Now, just for clarification, because I don't know that I've really said this much, you know, publicly, we believe Jesus. And we believe in the tithe. So if you're wondering, we do believe that there is a principle that Jesus didn't throw out of 10% of your gross income. That's what a tithe means. To not tithe on the gross is gross, right? 10% of your gross income to go to the local church to help the ministry. We do believe that. And Jesus goes on that he also believes in the tithe and the offering. So Rebecca and I have never only tithed. We've always given more than 10%. Now, if you go to the Old Testament and you want to go there, between the feasts and the monies and the food and everything that they're supposed to do for widows and orphans and people that are not from that country, first-generation immigrants, it was 27% of their income. So God had even taught his people from the very beginning to live on less. Now, we've talked about that before, so that's not our main topic today. But I do want to clarify, just because we don't pound it and pass the plate every Sunday and spend 10 minutes every Sunday talking about it, it doesn't mean that we don't believe in the tithe and offering. We're just very grateful that we have a giving church. I don't feel the need. Now, we've taught before on the principles of generosity, and you can go back and listen to some of those messages, but I want you to see in this passage before we get to the main thing, that Jesus is saying, I'm not doing away with tithe, but you're getting distracted by that. This is this principle of first. Jesus uses that word first. That's what we've been talking about, right? What is most important in rank and in value? Now, one reason why I don't stand at the front door as people come into the church and say, are you going to tithe? Is because Jesus said, it's not the first. Right? That's for mature believers, yes. But when you're along the journey, you're coming along the journey, there are more important things. Hello? You understand what? There are more important things. The whole point of this series is that we anchor ourselves near the beginning of the year. We finished our time of fasting and prayer. Focus ourselves on God. Shake yourself. Okay, wait, it's not about everything else. It's about Jesus, right? And say, okay, Jesus, what is important to you? What are those things? Because see, if we allow the second thing to become the first thing, we get distracted. How many of you enjoyed last week the analogy of the lion tamer's stool? So I get, you know, if the enemy can get you trying to focus on multiple things at once, you're toast. Right? You're hosed. You're done. And that's what happens in our life, really, when you think about it. When I come to a place where I'm all stressed out, the job, the bills, the devil's not after your job. He's not going to work it. He's after your peace. He's after your peace. And if you notice, each of these first things are Jesus giving us real, except for the one where he said, no, they said, no, you can't. And he said, yes, I can. Bind the strong man. Except for that one, every other one has been Jesus telling us, hey, this is real life, practical stuff to help you be anchored, to help you to be clear, to help you to know how you live your life in a peaceful, joyous way. Life to the full. That's what Jesus is giving us instruction. Now, Jesus here is talking about first, cleanse the inside. Right? That's what he's saying. Now, first, cleanse the inside. I want to just express in words to you kind of our basic theme, and I wanted you to see it on the screen before we dive in a little deeper. The inward experience of salvation. Now remember, these firsts are for believers, right? We've been talking about that every step of the way. The inward experience of salvation is the beginning of a change that eventually becomes outward change. Now, pastoring people or discipling someone in your small group, hello, if you're a believer, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, you should be helping someone else take the next step in their faith, right? That process, it's easy to short circuit the process. I'm going to focus on your outward behavior. Because then it's controlling. It's the same thing with parenthood. And when kids are little, you do have to start with that outward stuff. But as they mature, it becomes more like spiritual discipleship or spiritual shepherding, which is about maturity, which is about what's going on the inside. What's going on the inside? Salvation, that's the way it works. It starts on the inside and it works its way out. Okay? Now, more on that later. I want to tell you a story just as we dive into this. The picture that you see there is a lady named Charlotte Elliott. Charlotte Elliott. She was an embittered woman, Charlotte Elliott of Brighton, England. Her health was broken and her disability had hardened her. If God loves me, she muttered, he would not have treated me this way. Hoping to help her, a Swiss minister named Dr. Caesar Milan, that's not the dog whisperer, visited the Elliots on May 9th, 1822. Over dinner, Charlotte lost her temper and railed against God and family in a violent outburst. Her embarrassed family left the room, and Dr. Milan, left alone with her, stared at her across the table. You're tired of yourself, aren't you? He said at length. You're holding to your hate and anger because you have nothing else in the world to cling to. Consequently, you've become sour, bitter, and resentful. What's your cure? Asked Charlotte. The faith you are trying to despise. As they talked, Charlotte softened. If I wanted to become a Christian and to share the peace and joy you possess, she finally asked, what would I do? You would give yourself to God just as you are now, with your fightings, fears, hates, and loves, pride, and shame. I would come to God just as I am? Is that right? Charlotte did come just as she was. Her heart was changed that day. As time passed, she found and claimed John 6:37 as a special verse for her. The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Several years later, her brother, Reverend Henry Elliott, was raising funds for a school for the children of poor clergymen. Charlotte wrote a poem, and it was printed and sold across England. The leaflet said, "Sold for the benefit of St. Margaret's Hall, Brighton. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Underneath was Charlotte's poem, which has since become the most famous invitational song in history. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come, come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." You know, when God set out prescription for how the tabernacle of Moses was to be built prior to the temple, the outside of the holies was to be wrapped in badger skin, which would not be attractive at all, be dark and rough and kind of scrappy looking. But the inside was where all the gold was, all the golden pieces of furniture. We don't have time to talk about the tabernacle of Moses today. It's a really interesting study. But what you see in that example is God working from the inside, God creating beauty on the inside. Jesus knew, talking to the Pharisees, the teacher of the law, and just church folk, that it can get ugly on the inside really quick. Hello? Right? It can get ugly on the inside very, very quickly. Trees do something very interesting. When a tree's life is threatened, it will twist on the inside to protect itself, to strengthen itself underneath the bark. The bark will still, you'll still see the vertical lines. It won't look any different, but the tree will actually twist. There's a threat of fire or storms, heavy, heavy winds. It actually does a twisting, and it's not until, you know, you cut the tree down and you look at the rings and you look at, not until you dissect it, that you see what it did. Now, what can happen is that we can twist on the inside to try to strengthen ourselves in our own strength. And our roots be weak and we still fall. But in a spiritual way, if we are rooted in Him, right? Our rock, right? If we are rooted in Him, and it's His life that is inside of us, when the winds of life, the fires of life, when the challenges of life come, and we strengthen, it is not strengthening ourselves in us, it is strengthening ourselves in Him. Right? That is where real strength comes from. Now, one of the most recent people that I led to the Lord back in Portland, that relationship really started through a lunchroom conversation of, "I don't get it, why aren't you stressed?" You know, as coworkers, we were in a very stressful season in business. And she said, "I don't understand, why are you not freaking out like I am?" The devil's not after your stuff. He's after your peace. And we can't have peace when we're dirty on the inside. Amen? We can't, it doesn't work that way. So let's talk just real briefly as we kind of try to unwrap this a little bit. Inside life requires inside Christ. If you're the kind of person you like to do more reading during the week, E. Stanley Jones wrote about being in Christ. It's very simple. You're either inside Christ or you're not. Jesus talks about abide in me, right? You're either in Him or you're not. If you are not in Him, He cannot be in you, right? If you feel like I have these temptations, I have these problems, I have these habits, I have these things that happen in my life, and I feel like when it comes, when I face that giant, there's a little Jesus in me. I mean, if you're honest, at some point you've probably felt that way. Is Jesus little? Is He the mini me? No, He's not. He is a big God, right? It is us that can limit Him. Right? It's us. So we have to have Him in us. We have to be in Him. I don't know how to do that. What button? Where do I pull? What do I do to get Jesus in me? I don't understand this. It's weird. Right? What I have to do, I start with repentance. You guys have heard it before. I just want to get this good doctrine in you, right? What is repentance? Anybody? I turn, right? I was going this way. I confess my sins. I confess my faith in Jesus Christ. And now I'm going this way. Do all the reading, all the digging, all the study you want to do. That is what you will find. Jesus, I repent first. If I repent first and now I am chasing Jesus. And guess what? There's not a magic formula for chasing Jesus. God created you to be you.
Right.
Not to be me. To be you. Not to be someone you see on TV. To be you. That's who God created you to be. Now, He gave us the Bible. He gave us the living Word of God. And if you, listen, if you're not in this, you need to get in this. You know, Campbell's soup commercials, it's in there. You know, New York football, it's in there. It's in there. You've got a question. You've got a problem in life. You're going through a challenge. It's in there. It is. It's in there. If you need help, reach out. Ask me, Rebecca, somebody you see sitting in this room. Get yourself in a small group. Get yourself a running buddy. Get yourself somebody you can read through with. We've got Read Through the Bible, little spreadsheets that'll help you with what should I be reading? How do I attack this? Listen, we all try different stuff. I try different stuff pretty much every year. That's the only way that I'm going to chase Jesus, get Jesus inside of me, and I'm going to be inside of Him. Bible, I talk to God, and I listen to God. Now, if all you do is listen, you're going to get weird. Hello? If all you just sit in your room, be quiet, you're going to get weird. You need the Bible. You need relationships. You need to talk to God and listen. Mm-hmm. I'm just real. I grew up in church, so anytime I hear a message, I'm like, okay, so what? What does that mean? What do we do with that? It's got to be practical, right? So you need the Bible. You need to pray, talk to God, and I need to listen to Him. I've got to be inside Christ for there to be any cleansing of what's going on inside me. Does that make sense? Now, new inside life requires new identity. God has called you to have a new identity. Thomas Adams said this, becoming a Christian is not making a new start in life, it's receiving a new life to start with. It's not, and you would have read that this week if you followed CBC on Baltimore, you have gotten as a text to your phone. Becoming a Christian is not making a new start in life, it is receiving a new life to start with. Now, inside cleaning requires inside work. Inside cleaning requires inside work. Listen, it's a process. And I know what's easy for us to do is to not think it's possible. Have you ever caught yourself saying, well, this is just how I am? Y'all better learn how to deal with it. What you see is what you get. That's not what God called you to do. That's not what God called you to be. Right? Just to give up. He hasn't given up on you. You don't get to give up on you. Am I making any sense here? Right? And it's a process. That's why we say here, no perfect people allowed. That's also why we say nobody walks alone. It is a process. And until you get real, you're not going to get in process. You have to get real. You have to open up. You have to be transparent. You need to get this stuff out, and the Holy Spirit will help you work on one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a woman, sometimes multitasking. Sometimes you can do things us men cannot do. But it is a process. That's the way it is. You need to realize the fact that believing that you can live a victorious Christian life, you know, where you have more memories of the sins you don't do anymore than you have memory of the sins you're still doing now, right? Believing that that's possible for you is not any harder than believing you can't. Am I talking to anybody today? Did you hear that? That was really good. Believing that you can live the victorious Christian life is not harder than believing that you can't. It's like, you know, it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. This is the same in the spirit realm. Turn your frown upside down. Right? And if you're having, get around somebody who will help you. After I'd kind of started this journey in my own life, I got around a couple of, you know, college guys who were really having a hard time, were just bummed out and uptight all the time. And so myself and another guy who played tight end for one of the biggest schools in Oregon developed what we called Lighten Up Ministries. And what Lighten Up Ministries was we would hug you, pick you up off the ground, and shake you until you laughed. Sometimes we need Lighten Up Ministries with each other, right? You need to give somebody a hug, a smile, a, you know, a high five, a smack or something and say, listen, it's possible. Right? I know we started singing at 10 a.m. this morning, in case you were wondering. We started with nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. That's right. It is possible. But it takes work. Now, we don't get this mixed up. It's not work where you're earning God's favor. It's not work where you're fixing yourself. It's not work where you are cleaning yourself. And it's not me cleaning you either. Two kids in a mud puddle can't clean each other. They need someone clean. That's Jesus. Yes. Now, I'm not living in sin, so, you know, I'm not filthy. Don't, you know, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I'm also not Jesus. Hello? Jesus is Jesus. Right? You need Jesus involved with your life. But it takes some effort on your part. Scripture memorization is a great idea. Amen. Amen. Amen, Pastor. You're right. I need to do that. Scripture memorization is a good idea. It takes inside work to help you in the cleansing process. Now, Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci was working on the Last Supper. He asked a young man named Peter Beninelli, who served the Milan Cathedral, to sit for the character of Christ. Da Vinci spent the next 25 years working on the painting. He finally had only one character left to paint, Judas. After searching and searching for the right person to sit for the character of Judas, the great artist noticed a man in the streets of Rome who he asked to be his model. His shoulders were bent to the ground. He was cold, hard, an evil look on his face. He looked just like Da Vinci's conception of Judas. When the man was brought in to Leonardo da Vinci's studio, he began to look around as if he were recalling the incidents of years gone by. Finally, he turned and with a look of sad discover said, "Maestro, I was in this studio 25 years ago. Then I sat for Christ." Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, "The gods we worship write their names on our faces. The gods we worship write their names on our faces." You know, if you've ever volunteered or worked in a home for the elderly, you find that people either get more joyful or more bitter with age. Usually there's not anything in between. What is going on the inside of you will come out in your face. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. I'll just read them to you for the sake of time. Galatians chapter 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Colossians 2:6-7, "As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with great thanksgiving." Ezekiel 36:26 says this, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out and give you a heart of flesh." Colossians 3:10. Have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Romans 6:14. For sin has no dominion over you. You are not under law, but under grace. We've got to make a decision to root the devil out. I know you had a lot of stories already, but I just have one more for you. While visiting in Haiti, Dale Hayes heard a story from a Haitian pastor of a certain man who wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Another man badly wanted it but couldn't afford the full price. After much haggling, the owner agreed to sell the house for half the asking price with just one stipulation. He would retain ownership of one small nail protruding just over the front door. After several years, the original owner wanted the house back, but the new owner was unwilling to sell. So the first owner went out, found the carcass of a dead dog, and hung it from the single nail he still owned. Soon the house became uninhabitable, and the family was forced to sell the house to the original owner of to the owner of the nail. If we leave the devil with even one small peg in our lives, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for Christ's inhabiting. That was the Haitian pastor's conclusion. Jesus is trying to teach us a law of first things. And what he is saying first is clean the inside. Now, this doesn't mean that you need to be perfect to bring your tithe. But he's saying, listen, this is of greater importance. First, clean the inside. We read the passage, you're talking about the Pharisees, it's all for show. Jesus is saying, don't live your religious, your faith life for show. Clean the inside. Be real. This thing that we talk about here with no perfect people allowed and the way that we talk about church, this isn't to try to attract more people to compromise on what God says is sin. We don't apologize for anything that God says is sin. In fact, I think we take it further than most churches because we talk about the thoughts, the emotions, the attitudes. Many weeks we've talked about that. We draw harsher lines than some of them. We're not afraid to because we're trying to represent the God of the Bible. We're trying to represent the things that Jesus said in an accurate way. And so it's not a matter of greasy grace that you're going to slip and fall on, or you're just going to end up living a life of sin and you're going to come before the judgment day and Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. No, that's not where we're going. Where we're going, though, is the priorities that Jesus set out. Jesus didn't say, first, dress in your Sunday best, clean up your language, pay your taxes, get your kids straight, then you can go to church. No, that's what we say. How many times have you heard from someone, well, I got a few things I need to clean up, then I'll come to church with you. Well, that's backwards. He wants you to come just as you are. Yeah. Here people will say, Jesus loves you just as you are. He loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you that way. Yeah. He wants to come and clean the inside. Mm-hmm. But you can't shut the doors to little internal rooms. Right? I'll give you a couple of quick points before we go. Five inside destructive habits. The first is extortion, living to please yourself. The second is self-indulgence, living without self-control. Third, uncleanness, living an impure life. Fourth, hypocrisy, living a life of deceit. Five, lawlessness, living in violation of God's laws. We all have stuff. We've all had a past. It doesn't mean we need to carry it around. He doesn't want you walking around heavy. He doesn't want you walking around unclean. You can't come to Jesus with this law of firsts, with a clear conscience if you're filthy on the inside. We are here because we believe that God's power is real. We're here because we believe that God wants to make available to you a life where you are clean on the inside, where salvation is working its way from the inside out. Where a year later, we're noticing about each other, hey, you don't react the way that you used to. A year ago, you would have bit my head off for that. Now you just smiled at me. What's up with that? I mean, that's the kind of change that God's talking about, where it's not something I'm going to do this. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the kind of change that's from the inside out, where it's you and God, where it's real, where it lasts. It's not, I can't do that. You're just going to mess your pants that way. If that's all you're thinking about, all you're thinking about is what I can't do, what are you going to do? You're going to do that. It reminds me of a couple stories. Does that make sense? That's not what God wants on the inside of us. That's not what he wants. God works from the inside out. Now, looking around the room today, I don't see anyone who looks like they're full of sin. But God sees you. I mean, you all look very well adjusted. You look like you're doing good. But I think we all occasionally need a checkup. Now, I'm a typical man. I don't go for checkups, dental or otherwise. I just clean really hard. We all need spiritual checkups. I don't know a whole lot about the history of the Roman Catholic Church, but I think that the confessional booth may have somewhere been a good priest who just wanted to give people an opportunity for a checkup. Now, obviously, it became something it should not be, but I think that sometimes we need a checkup. You need to get alone with God or with another believer who's life-giving, who's not going to beat you up over it, is not going to hold it over you, is not going to gossip. Hello? Exercise wisdom. But we need to get around someone who can help us, right, get cleaned up from the inside. It's not about what people see on the outside. God wants to bring cleansing on the inside. And we need a checkup. We need a place to stop and just say, God, what do you want? What are you saying? You know, last week we talked quite a bit about that, about stopping and spending time to just hear the voice of God. You're going to be frustrated with everything you see on the outside until you get to a place where there's some spiritual health, you get some spiritual momentum, you get the momentum going the right direction in your spiritual health from the inside out. Now, this week, Toy is dressed appropriately today. This week is the week of St. Patrick's Day. And what I find interesting about the story of St. Patrick is that he is neither a saint nor Irish. Roman Catholic Church never canonized him. He's not a saint or Catholic. He was a Roman Briton who was actually kidnapped by pirates and taken to Ireland, taken captive, slave labor. And he was, for 6 years, he was a shepherd out completely by himself for his masters, taking care of the livestock. And one day, in prayer, he turned to God. He had run from God. He was not living a life of faith. But, you know, when you're by yourself, you might start to talk to God. He'd started to talk to God, and he felt like God said to him to escape his master and to meet a ship. Well, there was a problem. He was 200 miles from water. He escaped from his master and on foot 200 miles to the shore, and there was a ship waiting for him. He got back home, got back to serving God, and did some Bible schooling and got a call and went back to Ireland as a missionary. And he did some revolutionary things. He did some things that other people would not do. He taught the Bible, absolutely, but he also used music and the arts in ways that other people certainly would not do. And he's a great missionary. I mean, don't get drunk, but when you see the green beer, think missionary, right? You know, save the money, send it to the missionaries. He was a great creative missionary, but he would have never gone back to the people that enslaved him if he had not first gotten clean on the inside. He had to get clean on the inside first. Stand with me and we'll close in prayer today. I hope you're enjoying Matthew and these firsts of Jesus. And I really hope that what you're seeing is that Jesus had a lot to say that we can learn from. And I hope you're seeing that the Bible has a lot to say about our everyday life. God doesn't want you to be dirty on the inside. He doesn't want you to fake it. He doesn't want you to come here to fake it. He wants you to be clean on the inside so that when it comes time to sing, as we were so great today, clapping and everything, nothing is impossible, where you know that you're messed up on the inside. He said, repent or you will perish. He said, first clean the inside. I do believe that in confession of sin, He told us to do that. Confess your sins to God. He even said, confess your sins to each other to help each other out. There is something cleansing there. But it doesn't end with confession. It continues with you asking for forgiveness and confessing faith that God is enough. That He is the God. Not only over the city, but over your life. That He can help you get clean. Amen? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. If you would like prayer today, please feel free to come forward to the front. My wife and I, our team, will be happy to pray with you today. God, I thank You that You love us. Lord, that as we get closer to Easter and we think about the life of Christ, what He said, and then also His death, His burial, and His resurrection, Lord, we can have faith that our Redeemer lives, that there is nothing in our life that is too big for You, that You can forgive our sins, that You can, when we bring ourselves to You, a heart of stone, You can replace it with a heart of flesh, and You can clean us from the inside out. Lord, I pray that You would bring Your forgiveness and Your cleansing today in a very real way. Help us to hug each other, to laugh hard and loud today, and to enjoy Your presence, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please feel free to come forward if you would like prayer. We do, of course, have refreshments out in the concession area. Love you guys. Great to see you today. Have a great week. Thank you.